So I got my cough for the very first time around February 9th. Today is March 11th, and I've been some kind of sick for just a little over a month. It is tiring me to a degree that it caused me to reflect a lot on how much I take health for granted when I have it. I would say, generally speaking, I am a fairly healthy person. Overconsumption of alcohol can cause a problem. Overconsumption of food, calories, carbohydrates, all those things can have effects. I seem to have kind of brittle bones. I broke my ribs coughing too hard a couple years back. I also broke my ribs jumping onto a paddle boat at the local lake where we spend a lot of our summers. And something that I was doing, just rucking with the backpack, caused a persistent injury with my foot this past winter. So, you know, probably not the best breeding stock if you're looking for a physical specimen of just jaw-dropping amazingness. I'm also not particularly attractive. So now that we've taken a little bit of time to talk about my deficiencies, I wanted to say that it's not an excuse for the last month that I have had. And there's more to come on this topic. I'm really only going to skim the surface, but I have really stepped back from a lot of the commitments that I have made to do better work, to push my books into more places in front of more readers. And I've been making choices not to read as much, not to write as much, not even to market as much. I really have leaned into the stay-at-home element of my current situation where Ashley's doing all of the income earning, not all of, but a large amount of it. And so, you know, I make the house pretty, but even there, I think I was starting to kind of slack off on some of the peripheral stuff and trying to get a lot of merits because I would pick up the dog poop, which is historically one of the things she does since the dog is her dog.
This is TRBM, a podcast for authors who are serious about earning a full-time living selling books to readers. I'm the host, Jody J. Sperling, and each episode, I'll share with you practical tips on marketing and selling your books. And I won't hold anything back. Sometimes I fail. Every time I do, you'll know it. Sometimes I succeed. And when I do, I'll give you my step-by-step replay so you can succeed too. Thanks for listening.
Her damn dog. I've always done the cat litter, but I thought, hey, if I do this extra thing that's usually her job, it'll earn me some points, and maybe I can hide behind that. When the truth is, I have failed to confront my grief. And so when I lost my good friend and my podcast co-host, Chewy, I was afraid that talking about him with you would exploit him. That it would diminish his memory, that it would make less of him, that you would laugh at me for being so utterly and completely broken up and lost about the death of a cat. I continue to struggle with those feelings, but I realize I have to set the assumptions about who you are aside and put myself before you and be honest that I haven't grieved like I should, and it has sprung up into all manner of, I think, really destructive behaviors on my part. So this last weekend, I went to Bentonville, Arkansas for a book show. And that's maybe one of the bright spots of things that I have been doing over the past month and more is going to comic cons, anime festivals, craft shows, all kinds of things. And I've been out more weekends than not, the vast majority of weekends actually, selling my books. And so I am building a new audience of readers that all read my newsletter, my books, and that has been great. Though I have not seen a spike in like Amazon purchases or even online website purchases, which makes me wonder how I can more effectively turn kind of those in-person non-buyers into later more reluctant buyers, or what the tail is on that, I'll report to you as I find out. But I hand out somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 or 40 flyers for every day that I'm in an event. Maybe more than that, maybe like 50 flyers. It's a good amount, 60, 70, 100 flyers. I don't count them. It feels like I hand out a lot, but I do know that I'm going to smaller events too. So at any rate, those flyers, to the best of my knowledge, really haven't converted to like Amazon purchases or website purchases. And I can tell you that because I have a scarce number of Amazon and website purchases. So pardon me just a moment. Bark, bark, bark. You'll get that when you're listening to the podcast on Wednesday. So I was thinking on the drive down to Bentonville and the return drive that it's time to make a few amends. One of them is to... I called my wife, and this was on the way down, and I said, hey, I've been playing a little bit too much Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Really fun game, but I knew that I was sort of taking off work early some days to get like an extra hour of Nintendo in when nobody would be judging me for doing that. And so I asked her to delete my profile because that's a really destructive way to quickly do nothing with your life. Other ways was to return to morning dog walks. I had started to do kind of like middle of the day dog walks, and I couched that by saying that I was going to be doing book writing very first thing in the morning because I do have a more alert brain. What it ended up being was that I would just cycle between my Amazon KDP dashboard and my Twitter account and different things and look at statistics and metrics and not really right. And I was in a super sour mood. And so I wasn't getting anything done because without the exercise, my mind was really running free. So I'm getting back to morning dog walks. I'm going to start rucking again. I stopped rucking to try to let my foot heal, but it's been healed a while. And I still didn't go back to the rucking because, well, damn it, I didn't feel like working that hard. So those are a few of the things that I decided. I'm committed to that again. I am going to jump back on the carnivore diet. Currently, I am in a state of fastedness after getting back from Bentonville yesterday. So right exactly now, I'm 14 hours into just like a, what would be more like time-restricted feeding. I intended to take it longer. Right now, I'm kind of wondering if I might fry up a couple of pork chops for myself that I have downstairs. And that is because I continue to be terribly sick. It just is not getting better. And I think that's because I do have a sinus infection. And so sinus infections really take a while to heal up. I have pretty strong feelings on using antibiotics. It would be for me a matter of kind of life or death that I would ever choose to use antibiotics, because there is just a treasure trove worth of research that shows antibiotics lead to depression for people who use them up to 6 months after any dose of antibiotics. So there are people I know, people I'm even related to, who take antibiotics every 6 months and also take SSRIs and other depression medications. And it's kind of like maybe we're meant to fight infections sometimes, and our body is capable of doing that. But it's a long road and it hurts, and my head is throbbing right now. I did take a nap today, which I didn't want to, but I felt like if I don't take this nap, I'm going to be worthless and it's going to hurt worse. And so I got back from rucking, which I did do, laid down for a nap, got about an hour of sleep, and started doing the laundry, and my headache has just pounded and pounded and pounded. If I eat, I can take some ibuprofen, and that will be as far as I'm willing to compromise at this point. But that should hopefully help me to maximize the rest of the evening and get some of the things done that I have been not doing. Now, there's an interesting thing. It's sort of the chicken and egg argument, because grief is what led to some of these behaviors. What's opened the door? I'm prone already to bad behaviors, but it opened the door and I walked through. Inexperience didn't help, because I've never lost a friend like this before. I know that my family doesn't listen, so I don't necessarily have to be careful, but that doesn't mean that other people don't know my story. I lost my grandfather a little over a year ago now, and he was like a father to me. I've spoken quite a bit about that, and that grief was deep. but I didn't have as hard of a time grieving it for the aforementioned reasons that he was a human being. It was a lot easier to understand the forces at play. And so I think that that's really the main difference here, is that I needed to treat Chewie like he was a human best friend. And instead, I was afraid of being judged by others. So I guess while I'm on the topic, shame on you, you silent minority. I think you're a very small minority, but maybe loud, who judge people for loving animals. I probably in my life need to apologize to somebody for making jokes about emotional support animals. Although I even said this to my wife the other night, like, you have to be able to joke about anything. If there's anything that's off limits to joke about, it probably means that your reasoning, rationale, logic is a little bit out of alignment. But that's a huge topic. I'm not willing to cover it any length. The point being here is that in so many cases, I think we undervalue the power of a relationship that we have with our animals. So I want to say thank you to Chris Talon. He is my guest on the podcast on Wednesday. You'll hear his interview. We just spoke, so I'm really low on interviews. And so anything that I'm doing right now is coming out pretty much immediately as I try to build back up. And that's also a consequence of just not getting shit done this last month. At any rate, Chris said to me, as long as you are not using your relationship with Chewie to try to grow your listen numbers, to grow your Twitter account, to monetize, then you are healthy in your grieving and talking about it. This is an activity that you've been doing for a long time. And that just resonated with such utter and complete logic and emotional soundness that it immediately helped me to start framing the thought process that I had driving to Bentonville and back. So thanks, Chris, for that. It was very helpful to me. And with that in mind, I'm going to be having a conversation with Stephen Pressfield. That happens tomorrow. Tomorrow is Tuesday, March the 12th. Notably, I was originally supposed to have hit my weight goal. It wasn't originally also the day that Stephen was going to be interviewing on my podcast, but that is just the day I said I was going to be 185 pounds. I'm going to miss that by a light year. So still, I am on the right track. I'm lighter than when I started this journey by a good amount. So not all is lost, but I definitely didn't do as well the last month as I would have wanted to. Anyways, so still progressing on that front. But at any rate, March 12th, Tuesday, I'm going to be interviewing Stephen Pressfield. One of the things that I told him was that I wanted to buy 4 copies of his gift box edition of the Daily Pressfield, and I want to give those as gifts to my listeners. So 4 listeners are going to get a gift of the Daily Pressfield for being a listener of the podcast. What that means is you had to have at least listened about 12 minutes into today's podcast, because this is the first time I've announced it. I always meant to do this element of it, which was I actually want committed listeners to be the ones who have the opportunity to win this. And so I always knew I was going to give you just an utterly short window to reply and let me know that you'd like to be considered for the free gift box. It's a beautiful package. I will include a link to it. You can obviously just purchase it on your own after you listen to this episode if you just have to have it and you don't want luck or chance to play a role in that. I'll also have links in it next Wednesday when Stephen's episode airs live. Well, not live, but airs officially. And in the meantime, though, at the end of my interview with him tomorrow, which will be 2 p.m. Central Daylight Savings Time, I am going to ask him to read off the names of the winners. So you have until 2 o'clock tomorrow to email me interest in getting one of the Daily Pressfield gift boxes. What that includes is an entire year worth of discussion on resistance and how to engage in the creative endeavor without being destroyed, like I've been destroyed this last month. If you've ever read The War of Art, it's an amazing book. Stephen does, about resistance, capital R resistance. And that is the force that as soon as you open your eyes, you're like, I should press the snooze button. I should not do this. Resistance is any force that keeps you from doing that thing in your life that you know you are supposed to be doing. When you listen to resistance, you fail to embrace who you are. So if you're the kind of person who's been trying really hard to write a book, to make a painting, to create a screenplay, any kind of thing, create a business. I think most people listening to this show are really strictly writers, but who knows? Maybe you enjoy my blend of philosophy on things, and so you listen even though you're not specifically a writer. Stephen is speaking to the wider community. He also is a writer, author of the Legend of Bagger Vance. He's not a huge fan of the movie. I personally think it's probably a great film, but it probably didn't quite adhere to the vision he had for his story, and I understand Stephen King never liked The Shining, so totally fine. Anyways, four copies. That is a value of a good value. It's a good value of money. And I'm going to ship it to you for free. So what I need you to do is email me your interest. Email me your full name and your shipping address. When you do this, let me be completely transparent. If you're not already on my email list, I will add you to my email list. The only thing that does for you in this channel is it means that you get a notification when I drop a podcast. So if you're already listening, I doubt you're going to be upset about that. And if you're somebody who already is on my email list, still, you need to email me personally and let me know. I'd love to be considered for a free copy of the Daily Press Field. You get just under 24 hours to do this. So if you're driving home on your ride from work today and you listen to the podcast and you hear this, take action now. Make sure to email me. The email address I want you to send it to is super easy, just so that nobody has any trouble. It's my name, jodyjsperling@gmail.com. Send an email. I would like to be considered for a copy of the Daily Press Field. I'll throw you in the bag. If I only get four responses, then all four people who happen to respond will get it. I imagine I might get six responses, so your chances are going to be really high. That's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but I would say your chances are fairly good if you go ahead and email me, because the time frame for response is so short, under 24 hours to let me know you'd like a copy of the Daily Press Field. It comes to you signed by both the artist and Stephen Pressfield, so it does have some illustrations in them. They're beautiful. I think that they're works of art that really elevate the text itself, and it comes with a really nice collector's box. It comes with a small box of gift cards, actually, that you can, not gift cards like Amazon gift cards, but little like thinking of you cards that are beautifully illustrated by the artist as well. So it's something that you would be just crazy not to take advantage of. If you hear this, throw your hat in the ring. That would be cool. And learn from Stephen how you can avoid doing the dumb thing that I did. I collapsed to resistance after Chewie died. I guess I want to confess, too, that I really did actually think that the tears, the private tears that I shed with my wife at my side, with my kids, with trusted, close people, I thought that was all that grief was. I was wrong. Grief is not just crying with trusted people. Grief is an acknowledgement of the profound impact that a loss has on your life. And the very fact that I tried to minimize my relationship with my cat because I was afraid of what you would think meant that I stuffed all of that grief down into the darkest, nastiest place. And it had just a huge impact on me. And so I forever lost a month of my life to bad decisions because I wasn't willing to acknowledge the truth that the relationship meant so, so much to me. So I'll end by making the connection to marketing, because that's what this podcast largely discusses. If you think that you're able to do good marketing, even just good marketing, but you refuse to be authentic and honest with yourself, you're not going to succeed. I think I'll do some more episodes in the coming Mondays about this because I'm starting to understand how deep this goes. Not all of it is grief-oriented, but certainly grief plays a big part of it. What Stephen Pressfield again calls resistance. I think sometimes we assume that our first thought is our best thought. In fact, there's been some research on tests that has talked about when kids take education tests in school, like math tests, that if they have a gut reaction about a multiple choice, the first gut reaction is usually actually the best answer. The problem with that is that we don't ask the second question to why that would be. And the reason that that would be is that tests are samples of things that have already been studied, taught, and really percolated on. And so in that format, you've probably heard the right answer before, and it is your actual amazing capacity for memory that your brain's like, huh, I think I recognize this.
I'm four books into a 9-book series, and every single day lately, I find myself thinking, boy, it would be great if I had some central location for all of my notes, all of my plot points, character names, family lineages, you name it. I wish it was in one place because, let's be honest, the way that I am using Microsoft Word as a word processor and have 55 different documents to keep track of all of the series details that I need to access, I'm taking more time opening up files wondering, why did I name this one that? Why did I name this one that? And not getting the information I need. Enter Scrivener. You guys know that I do not advertise for things unless A, I'm using them myself, and B, I think that you could up your game, sell more books, do better marketing, and get yourself in the game better. And that is why I am now partnered with Scrivener. If you use the link in the show notes, you get a 30-day free trial, and then you can sign up as well for a discount. Click the link in the show notes to learn more.
At some level. And that's ultimately why we are better at gut reactions on tests like that. And it's why it fails us and why resistance really peeks its head out is it tries to tell us it's the same thing. When we think about marketing and we're like, oh, I have this idea I should try. And then we just do it. And then we get angry when it doesn't work. How many times have you sent out a tweet, for example? How many times have you made a post or a reel on Instagram that just seemed brilliant to you? You had this like sort of lightning storm idea and you threw it up on social media and you thought it was going to like really get some interaction and nobody said a damn word. That happens to me on the regular, and I know it happens to you as well. And instead of just being like, well, you know, of course, if I'm posting infrequently and I'm not really giving myself headspace to create a productive, creative routine where I get used to the flow of this, then I'm not going to be successful. But you instead say, well, I told you it wouldn't work. I knew it wouldn't work. And so you kind of like slowly back away and say, I guess Instagram's just not for me. I guess Twitter's just not for me. It's the reason why more is always better. So I'm not telling you not to make those posts, but I'm telling you the resistance comes in and lies to you about why it failed. It failed because it was a shitty post. It wasn't timed right. It wasn't stated right. It wasn't done with the correct colors. It wasn't on your brand. It wasn't fully honest to who you were. You pulled back just a little bit, fearing you might offend somebody. There are so many reasons why your marketing sucks. And those are the big ones, is because you're actually listening to resistance. So you're taking half measures. You're assuming that if you do something just off the cuff, that it should make an impact. But when has that ever made an impact? Like, I can say no to a donut, but if I eat 7 other donuts that day, well, you know, the difference between 7 and 8 is not that big. So I'm going to go, like I said, a lot more into this. But for me, I wanted to say that I gave in to the resistance of grief. I didn't let myself grieve. I didn't let myself be honest. And I want this to be the start of it. Spoiler, I completely exploded my plans for the Stephen Pressfield interview, and we're actually going to be talking about this very topic. So I'm really excited to hear his answer. I have no clue what he's going to say, but I assure you, I've listened to his many, 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 many podcasts, interviews, and I have never heard anybody ask him a question about the Legend of Bagger Vance, a particular scene early in the book where the hero makes an act of indiscretion. And Bagger Vance himself has a response that just startled me and how beautiful it was. And so that's where we are going to start the interview with Stephen. That's, like I said, a little spoiler. He doesn't even know this, but I'm excited to talk with him. And if I've done a good job steeping myself in everything Stephen Pressfield, then that one question should create the format for a rather compelling and novel conversation on grief and why grief can be resistance, but it also can be the seedbed of the most amazing work of your life. Thanks for listening. And again, remember to email me, jodyjsperling@gmail.com, if you want to be considered for a gift box copy of The Daily Pressfield. Lots of love. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Thank you for listening to TRBM. The theme music was provided by the ever-talented Christopher Talon. And hey, if you liked what you heard, share this show with other readers, because what's the point of telling stories if nobody's listening?